Hey guys, it's Amon
and Christina
from Our Rich Journey,
and you are listening to the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Shira, how are you doing today? Today is Saturday, for those listening. We usually record on Sunday, but we have some free time today. How do you feel about recording on Saturday, Shira?
Yes, free time is nice. The house is quiet.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's nice.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We got to get out a little bit today and, you know, walked around. Had a good old time, Shire. A little date night, you know what I'm saying? How'd you feel about the date, Shire? A little day date.
Oh, look at me. I didn't know it was a date, but...
Apparently it wasn't that good.
I mean, I just thought we were hungry. Yeah, it was nice. No, actually, it was nice to try out a new place.
Yes.
Ran into some people, which was cool. Sometimes it's good to run into people, but sometimes it's not that great running into folks. But when you run into people that you love, then that always makes the day brighter.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, just trying to get out and experience this, our city and all it has to offer, you know. So, yeah, it was great. It was great, Shira. And just great to just kind of unplug from the, you know, the world and work and all that stuff. So, it was great. Now, let's talk about today's topic, Shira. I was at the gym. Okay, let me set the scene for you. I was at the gym this morning doing my little, I got hopped on the treadmill. You know what I'm saying, Shira? I don't usually do that. Hopped on the treadmill and I looked up at the TV and I was seeing all these riots, just dramatic footage of riots. I'm like, yo, what's going on? And under the headline, it said something to the effect of France and the workers of France, citizens of France, protesting the movement of their retirement age. So I immediately text you. I was still on the treadmill. It's like, Shira, we got to talk about this because this is a big deal. And there could be, who knows, there could be potential implications worldwide when stuff like this happens. So I shot it to you. And what did you think? I know you immediately did some research. What did you unpack from this, Shira? Or should we unpack this together?
Yeah, well, I looked it up and I said, wow, there are a lot of protests happening.
Yes,
and
they shut the city down, Shy.
Pretty much. And I was just, I don't know, I guess I felt curiosity.
Yes, and so, shout out to our global listeners. We know we got some folks out there from France too, so shout out to y'all. But go ahead, Shy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it looks like they are increasing the retirement age from 62 to 64.
Right.
And I don't know. I think that people have a lot of reasons to be upset.
Yeah.
I would certainly be upset. I mean, imagine being 61 and knowing that you're 1 year away
right
from retirement, and then all of a sudden this happens. Now, The other thing was how it was passed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess usually there's a vote, but in some instances...
It was like an executive order almost, right?
Yes, the president basically knew that it wouldn't pass if it was... if there was a vote by parliament, and so the president just pushed it through.
Yeah.
And I think that that ruffled some feathers in the way that it was done.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point is that I guess they would be seeing a deficit in their pension fund if they were to continue it the way that they have.
Yes, and I think it's important to delve into how their retirement system works. But before we do that, my knee-jerk reaction to, like, look, they called it the Black Thursday strikes were organized by several prominent trade unions. They shut down schools, railways, refineries, and the Eiffel Tower. So as I'm unpacking all this, and then I see the headline, like, they push it back from 62 to 64. I'm not going to hold you. My first thought is like, really, y'all? Y'all doing a whole lot. But then as you begin to explain to me like how their retirement system works, I was like, yeah, I'll be hot too. So I guess we could dig into exactly how their system differs from works and then how it differs from ours. I think that was interesting. So yeah, break it down for me, Shia. Break it down.
Yeah, so they have a social security system, I guess similar to the way that the U.S. has a social security program, I guess.
Right.
I think that theirs is a little bit more comprehensive. From what I've read, most employees in France, they're taxed at a rate of around 22% of their gross income. And then something unique about France is that employers also pay into the pension.
Mm.
And I mean, I've read that they pay a really high percentage of the employee's salary into this program each year.
Wow.
Another thing, it sounds like France's pension program is like really comprehensive.
Yes.
Some would say one of the best in the world. They have universal state health care. They have high state pensions and just other benefits that come along with their package.
Right. And Shar, I guess for me, I thought when they said pension, it was like similar to our pension system. But when you're breaking it down, it's more of like, it's like their social security system. So, okay, now this is what I want to do. Draw the parallel between them and us. So for us, we know we have, for retirement, we have like a three-pronged kind of thing. There's the pension system, the social security, which ours is not nearly as comprehensive as theirs. And then like 401s, 403bs and all that kind of thing. Like that's going to help us retire. But for them, they were relying heavy on this pension social security program.
Absolutely. Because they're paying into it. And like I had mentioned before about the employer having to pay into it, on average, the employer's share of contributions represents 45% of the gross salary. So there is an enormous amount of money being placed into, you know, their pension plans.
Yeah.
And I would say they contribute at a higher rate than I would say that we do to ours percentage wise. And so, I mean, their pension plan is everything, and they work many years to receive it.
Yes.
Many times, you know, they're working over 40 years to be able to draw from this pension plan.
Wow. So it's about time served. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Well, that's how all pensions are. It's the amount of time that you've put into it.
Yeah.
And then it's also, they look at your highest earning years,
right,
that help to determine that, and some other factors as well. But yeah, like, they put so much into this program, and yeah, it's just like, what more do you want?
Do you want from me?
Yeah, what more do you want from me? If you, you know, you have to contribute to this plan, and it requires so much of their time and effort. So yeah, I can see why people are
a bit frustrated.
Yes.
Now, what I want to know, Shire, is why did the government do this? What is the change that, like, okay, you guys are going to retire, the retirement age is pushed back a couple years. How does that benefit the government? You know, so it says the new plan is more straightforward, increasing funds by making the French work longer. A recent public opinion poll found that over 60% of the French people oppose the plans, of course, which has united France's left and right. Okay, so that's the political side. But it says the planned reform would yield an additional 17.7 billion euros, 19 billion US dollars, in annual pension contributions, allowing the system to break even by 2027. So it feels like by pushing them back, they're able to, like, spread the funds better so that they don't end up in a deficit and end up breaking even.
Right. And yeah, you know, I don't know all of the ins and outs.
Yeah, there.
But I think that when a state or when a government makes these types of sweeping reforms, mm-hmm, that there really needs to be an education piece that encompasses it.
Yeah.
And I think that many times we think about today.
Yeah.
I want my benefit, you know, today.
Right.
But what are the implications for tomorrow? What are the implications for your children?
Yeah.
What are the implications for your children's children? And, you know, but at the same time, it's just like, well, you know, in France, there's reform, there's change.
Right.
But was this the only option? Was this the only way that it could have been approached?
Yeah.
So it's really, it's sad that they're going through this right now, but it's also somewhat empowering as well.
Okay.
To see that, you know, to see people come together to say, you know what, this isn't right. This isn't right.
Yeah.
That
is dope, because I don't even know. I don't see the United States. We're not united enough to, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think
something like that, you think?
I mean,
we're gonna march over an unarmed killing of a brother, but I don't know. It has to be something pretty drastic to get us to, you know.
I think this is definitely worth protesting over. I foresee the U.S. being in a similar situation sometime down the line. But what happens here in the U.S. is that we put the onus on the individual. Mm-hmm. If a person doesn't have money for retirement, we look at that person and say, wow, you must have made a lot of bad choices throughout your life, you know? And so we play that game here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, their situation, this is a collective. They're all paying into this. They're all relying on this. They've worked many years for this.
Yeah.
And so their structure is just different. But here we do a lot of, well, you should have, well, you know, you should have just done things differently.
Man, yeah.
But to your point, hasn't the Social Security age risen here in the U.S.?
Yes. And I got, like,
trending that way, possibly.
Definitely trending that way. I got, like, three things that popped in my head during your last, when you were talking last. You raised some great questions. But yeah, I think we're trending that way too. The benefit of our system as opposed to theirs is, like, it's been beaten into our head that, like, man, Social Security might not even be there. Or if it is there, it's going to be just a little bit. It's supposed to help you take the edge off your retirement, kind of, so to speak. So when they do little things like push it back, we don't really, like, we like, well, you know, it's not as heavy on us. But I think France is using this tactic to push it back. Like, that's measure one, Shire, mm-hmm, right? Which seems bad. But I think what would be worse is if they needed to lower the contributions in retirement, or what we the what you're going to get as a retiree. See, that is the that's a worse scenario, well, in my opinion.
Yeah, I see that, but I don't know what is all proposed in the plan.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That could.
It looks like you're just pushing the age, you just got to work longer, but.
Yeah.
That other piece might be next.
I also think that for our age group, so folks that are in their 30s, maybe their 20s, or even their 40s, mm-hmm. We don't think that much about Social Security as a blanket statement. We've heard a lot of people say, well, what if it's not here?
Yes.
But when you get to that age,
you're going to need it. You're going to want everything you got.
You're going to need that money. Can you imagine what a loaf of bread will cost in 20 to 30 years? And so while we are really confident.
Taking this into our own hands.
Really confident.
Building generational wealth.
Exactly. Right. Building generational wealth. Taking this into our own hands. Yada, yada, yada. When you actually get there, you may find that you need that Social Security benefit. And we have a right to say we want our Social Security benefit because we are paying into it. So why would I get to 62? Or, you know, whatever age I decide to withdraw Social Security and not have it and then turn around and be okay with it.
Yeah.
After I've paid into it my entire working life. Since I was a teenager, I've held a job.
Right.
Consistently. So why would that be okay? We would be in the streets.
We'd be mad too.
Protesting just like those folks in France. They're locking up people.
Yeah.
They're starting fires. They're shutting it down.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that we would rally around and as well, and we'd have things to say as well.
I agree, Shire. I kind of just had an off-topic thought.
Okay.
I think you might have mentioned it. It's quite interesting that these folks are rioting, and I'm not hearing too many. Why are they tearing up their city? That's, that don't make no sense.
Yeah,
it's y'all's block. Why y'all doing that? Y'all messing up y'all's own stuff. But that's a whole nother conversation.
I know. We don't have to have it because we already know.
Right.
Come on, listeners. We already know.
Yeah.
But we definitely are not seeing those headlines. Protests. We're not seeing. They're destroying their own country, and you know. But anywho, those are those double standards that exist in society.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Now, okay. What you gonna say?
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say I gotta ask you this. First of all, you raised some great points about retirement. And I mentioned it to you. I'm like, Shire, you know, you project that I'm going to need this much in retirement. You know, jumping back to the U.S. retirement system, I'm going to need this much in retirement. And my 401k is this. You know, I got 2 million. I'm going to need whatever your FIRE number, all that talk, right? But my biggest fear is that when I get to that whatever year that is, when I'm going to pull from retirement, and let's say I sacrifice and I got my 2.5 million, that made sense 20 years back. Hey, you need 2.5. That's gonna get you where you need to be. Then I get there, but because things, cost of living is so much more expensive, that turns out to not be enough. That would be crushing, and that's like one of my worst fears when thinking about our retirement system. It's just like, how do we even know that it's going to be enough? You know what I mean? I think I expressed that to you today.
And I didn't have any fear about that because
there
are many like calculators where you can like project, like if you save 2.5 million today, that it will be equivalent to X amount of dollars
tomorrow.
Or I'm not even sure if I said that correctly.
I get what you're saying. There's things that project what the cost of living will be.
What the cost of living will be and what the value of those dollars would be through the lens of today.
But now what if something within that 20-year cycle, you know, ratchets it up higher than even our estimators are able to see right now? Don't you think that's possible, Shire? I mean, just think about me and you were laughing about when we got married 15 years ago. We picked up our lease of our first condo, our first apartment, $529. You can't live on the street for $529 today.
Well, you had me in a studio apartment, so let's not act like it was glamorous.
Well, absolutely.
But
it wasn't much.
But you make a very, very valid point.
Because now that studio apartment is going to cost you double what we pay 15 years.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that what you are illustrating here is no matter how knowledgeable you are about money, that there's still a point in time where you might need to actually sit down with a certified financial planner and someone who is an expert. What they'll do is they'll look at what you're saving and they'll run different types of probabilities that your strategy, you know, this is going to work for you.
Yeah.
They'll, you know, so they'll look at different confidence levels.
And right.
So if you need that reassurance, and at some point we all will need that reassurance that we're on the right track, or we need someone to let us know, you know what, you need to be factoring in what your taxes will be like once you retire.
Right.
And so then that's when we want to work with a professional, a licensed professional who is a fiduciary who can provide us, you know, that insight. So we don't have to sit back and wonder for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Am I doing this correctly? Am I on the right track?
Yeah, that's a good point, Shara. All right. Well, I got to ask you this. I need to know. In hand number one, in my left hand, I have France's system, right? Their retirement system that is pension based. I'm guessing it's going to pay you over your life, right? An annuity style that you have paid into during your working life. And after retirement, they will pay you until your death. Or in my right hand, I have the United States system. That is, we take away Social Security. We give you a little bit of something at back. Maybe you work for the government, United States government. Maybe you work for the state or your county where there's a pension in place. Or you go with your 401 and you do your self-investing, right? Roths and 401s, 403Bs and all those things. Which system, if you can only pick one, which one are you going with?
I would probably go, this is all hypothetical.
I got I'm stuttering. Yeah, I got to stutter.
I'm stuttering. I would probably go with France. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. And one of the things I was literally Googling as you were asking me that question was the life expectancy. And the life expectancy for someone in France is 82 years, and then when in America on average is 76 years, so they're living longer.
Yeah,
probably less stress.
Obviously less stress, right?
You know, this is a high stress country. Yes. I think our state is like really high stress,
man.
Like for no reason, but it's a more stressful atmosphere.
Yes.
So that's what I would be choosing. I just need a relaxed quality of life. And I don't want to have to worry about how I'm going to afford healthcare.
Right.
And that would be covered.
I'm not mad at you, Shy. That actually sounds better. I think about the cynic in me thinks about, man, you really are giving a lot of trust into the government. You know what I'm saying? Whereas with us, a lot of trust in the government in, they can adjust it before you retire, like we're seeing now. They could push you back 2 years just because I signed an executive order. Or you could be getting it. You could be in retirement and they make some big sweeping change and you're just like, huh? Whereas with us, it's what you put in, you'll be able to get out. But with that, you're right. It's so much stress. It's so much anxiety. Like
the journey to get there.
The journey to there is just... You'll be gray, bald, you'll be everything else by the time.
Possibly.
You know, so yeah, that's interesting, Shire.
Yeah, I think that this situation is worth keeping an eye on.
Yes.
You know,
I absolutely
and,
do.
You know, I think it's great to be informed and to learn what's happening in other countries because it will be at our doorsteps, or it could be at our doorsteps in the next whoever knows. I think it's very unpopular to touch Social Security. Like, nobody wants to touch Social Security.
No president
wants to touch Social Security.
Right.
But there could come a day when the math just isn't mathing.
Yeah.
And what is going to happen, and then what will we do in response as citizens?
Very well put, Shire. And no more yeast to add to this one. Well, if you all enjoyed this episode of the Black Married and Debt Free podcast, do us a huge favor and leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening. We need to get these reviews up, y'all. If y'all love us, if y'all got any Marcus. Love for us, y'all need to get off this podcast and go give us a 5-star review if you haven't already. If you have already, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Shire. Well, I think that's it for me. I ain't got nothing more to say. We up out of here. Peace.
Bye.